Research shows that families who homeschool their children are largely white, middle class, and religious. But as 90.5 WESA's Josh Rollerson reports in the second installment of our Life of Learning series on homeschooling, demographics don't fully explain who these families are.
For many, the mention of homeschooling conjures negative stereotypes about the people who practice it. Homeschool families are religious fundamentalists who tend to shun secular society, or they're libertarian ideologues who reject the whole idea of public education on principle. Those notions don't hold up after a visit to the Squirrel Hill home of Beth and John Freeman.
Antenna to feel?
Yes.
But then how do bugs feel without antenna?
Well, they don't.
Beth Freeman is working with 5-year-old Karis, the youngest of the 5 Freeman kids. Her 8-year-old sister Kayla sits across the kitchen table studying language arts.
There's none of these words in here.
I know. Your job is to replace.
Oh.
Did you read the directions?
Beth Freeman says for her, homeschooling is not political. She just wants to be directly involved in her children's lives.
Instead of my kid being away from me 30 hours a day, sometimes their best hours, with kids I don't know, with, you know, principals, teachers I don't know, it just seemed just more of like a natural step to have them learn at home than to send them away.
Homeschool families are still very much in the minority, but their numbers are growing. Federal data show the percentage of American students who are homeschooled has doubled since 1999 to 3.4% of all school-age kids. The U.S. Department of Education keeps track of other statistics, too, including the race, income, and education level of parents who homeschool.
Historically, it's been primarily white. That's been true over time.
Joseph Murphy studies the homeschooling movement and its history at Vanderbilt University, where he's a professor of education. Murphy says the homeschool population is growing more racially diverse, attracting more black families in particular. But white homeschoolers still outnumber their African-American peers by wide margins. Economically, homeschool families overwhelmingly fall near the middle of the spectrum.
On the high end, people are reluctant to stay home if they're making a lot of money. So it's easier to send your kid to a private school or be a tutor or whatever. And people at the bottom end of the income, that's just not possible. I mean, you have to have both parents working a lot of times. So it really has been kind of the middle-class adventure.
The Freeman family fits this description pretty closely. They're white, middle class, both parents college-educated. Dad has a day job. Mom stays home to teach. Like many homeschool families, they're also religious. John Freeman runs a Christian youth outreach ministry for college students. But he says the decision to homeschool wasn't what he calls a fundamentalist thing.
It's not even a religious thing. I think that's sometimes people think this must be, oh, you're a pastor, it's a religious thing. It's like, no, we have a lot of our friends who also homeschool or varied different religious backgrounds.
There is a basic socioeconomic profile of the homeschool movement, but even at the macro level, the data can be fuzzy. There are two reasons for that. One, it's an informal system. That means it's just harder for researchers to gather information. Two, changing technology and school reforms are making it more difficult to even define homeschooling as a category. A growing number of students are learning at home through privately run, publicly funded online schools. Those kids are not technically homeschooled. They're cyber charter students. Meanwhile, many public school districts have begun offering their own online courses. Students who use those resources don't count either. Under the formal definition of homeschooling, the government neither pays for nor provides instruction.
Once one of those becomes yes, then it's not technically homeschooling.
When you plot it out that way, the Freemans are all over the map. Their 3 youngest kids are all enrolled in PA Cyber Charter, a privately run program that receives state funding. The 2 middle schoolers, Isaiah and Lydia, are also digital learners. But they're enrolled in Pittsburgh Online Academy, a cyber school run by the city school district. That means they're both students in Pittsburgh public schools.
The benefit of Pittsburgh Online Academy is they have the qualifies for the Pittsburgh Promise.
The Freemans call themselves homeschoolers. None of their 5 children has ever attended a brick-and-mortar school. Still, according to the rubric used by academic researchers and the federal government, none of them is actually homeschooled. Murphy says it's likely that when defined by the methods they use and the movement with which they identify, homeschoolers are being undercounted.
So the line really can blur at that point.
In other words, the demographics will only get you so far. To understand who these families really are, you have to consider their motivations. While it's true that homeschool families are more likely to be religious and that faith often plays a role in their decisions about schooling, it's actually not the primary consideration. According to the most recent data from the National Center for Education Statistics, the most frequently cited reason why parents choose to homeschool is a concern about the environment of other schools. Increasingly, that means a concern about the physical and emotional security of their kids.
You know, whenever there's a school shooting, you know, I think there's some of us parents are like, oh my God, that could be my kid's school. Or, you know, just some things that go on in some schools.
Things like bullying, sexual assault, and peer pressure leading to bad choices. More than anything, the Freemans say they want to spare their kids the pressure to perform academically. They both felt it growing up, and they worry it's getting worse as schools intensify their focus on standardized testing. The Freeman kids take the state-mandated PSSA exams, and their mom thinks the tests can be a useful tool for measuring learning. But she doesn't devote a lot of time to test prep.
I really just think if you don't know it by now, what's the point of cramming for the test? Right. To measure you and make you feel better about yourself because you did better than somebody else. I want you to learn it and know it and enjoy it.
That's become a widespread view lately. Many parents are choosing to opt out of testing their kids. There's also been vehement opposition to the Common Core standards. It all ties in with a broader current in contemporary culture, a back-to-basics, do-it-yourself ethic that seems to inform everything from home birthing to locavore culture.
I think that, yeah, kind of this age of let's figure out how to do things ourselves and this independent ingenuity, I think does foster it.
In a way, it's a return to the movement's roots. Contrary to its current image as a right-leaning enterprise, Vanderbilt professor Joseph Murphy says homeschooling began as a project of the post-war counterculture, when liberals grew distrustful of institutions like schools, which they viewed as repressive and needlessly formal.
And they said, well, look, if we're not going to be able to change the public schools, we will promote homeschooling as an alternative. They were the original seed.
As a parent, Beth Freeman likes the freedom she gets from homeschooling. But she says she doesn't want to turn her back on the system.
I really want the educators in our country to be valued. They have studied learning systems. They have studied child development. What I would like is to be able to cooperate and tap into people who have the knowledge I don't.
The Freemans are pragmatic, you might even say agnostic, about the different methods available. They have no allegiance to any particular system, and they like to keep their options open.
Each kid is so different. You know, you see the personalities of the kids, the way they learn, the way they engage. It's kind of year by year and kid by kid.
And next year, they're planning to send their two oldest kids to their neighborhood brick-and-mortar public high school, Pittsburgh Alderdice. For 90.5 WESA News, I'm Josh Rollerson.